Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama Daf Chaf Aleph. We are holding on Daf Chaf Amud Beis. We're going to pick up again from Itmar Rav Kahana Omar, about 15 lines from the end of the page on Daf Chaf Amud Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Lilu Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom. Also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should return safely. And also by Rabbi Yechiel and Adina Weberman in memory of Malka Shapiro, Malka Bashmuel Zev, whose yard site is today, B'neshama Shev and Aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very, very much for these sponsorships. So first thing we're going to talk about is there's going to be a contradiction in what Rabbi Yochanan held about a squatter's obligation to pay, about Zenen of Zelo Chaser, if someone is Dar B'chaser Chaveiro, Shalom B'reshus. So we're going to have two versions of what Rabbi Yochanan said, and the Gemara is going to try to resolve those two versions of Rabbi Yochanan. Then the Gemara is going to tell seemingly contradictory rulings of Rav Huna about a squatter's obligation to pay, and we're going to resolve that as well. Then the Gemara is going to get into when an animal turns its head to eat from the Tzidei Haruchava. So is there a chiyuv? What is the chiyuv? And we're going to try to identify what the Mishnah was talking about when it said that Achla mitoch haruchava mishalemis masha nanisa mitzidei haruchava mishalemis masha yiziko. Where exactly was the animal eating from? Then the Gemara is going to compare on the bottom of Amud Aleph bar birushuso, which is a case where a person digs a bar in his own property and then later he's mafkir his property. So we have a discussion about that. We're going to compare that to a case of mekatsa makta mako mirushuso lirushus harabim, where a person owns a large property and he recesses his house back so that the front yard is partially given over to the Rosh HaSarabim for people to be able to use it, but then he leaves things out there in that space that really belongs to him but is now adjacent to the Rosh HaSarabim. Then the Gemara is going to have three different ways to understand the Machlokas Tanaim about an animal eating while walking in a Rosh HaSarabim. There is a Machlokas Tanaim about that. First, the Gemara thinks it's the same Machlokas as the Machlokas Samaraim about an animal turning its head, but we have two other ways of understanding that machlokas tanaim. Then the Mishnah on Beis is going to discuss the chiyuvim of a kelev, the chiyuvim of shein and regel of that are done by a dog, and that's going to lead the Gemara into the discussion of the sugya of tchilasa b'pshia, the sofo be'ones. So that's what we have on tap for today. So let's begin with Itmar, about 15 lines from the end of the page. So we started reading this yesterday, but we're beginning again. Itmar. So the following was stated both in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Kana Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Kana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that if a person lives in someone else's property without rishus, he does not have to pay for the rent. Rabbi Avo Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Avo says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, tzarech la'alos l'sachar, that you do have to pay. So Amar Papa Had Rabbi Avo Lav Beferish Itmar El Michlala Itmar. You should know that Rabbi Avo's comment in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that you do have to pay, he never actually heard it explicitly from Rabbi Yochanan. He was only able to deduce it from something else that Rabbi Yochanan said, and therefore you don't necessarily have to rely on it because it could be that there's a flaw in the deduction that he made. Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah in Maseches Me'ilah that tells us Natal Evno Kura Shal Hegdash. If the Gizbar, who's in charge of all the Hegdash funds, takes a stone or takes a beam that belongs to Hegdash and he takes it for himself, Hareza lo ma'al, he has not yet violated Mi'ila because he was not mishanda the Rishus of the beam or the stone, because beforehand it was in his domain and now it's in his domain. He's the Gizbar, he's the one that's supposed to watch over all of this stuff. So he was and now it still is. So it hasn't transferred Rishus. Normally if a person takes an object from Hegdash or he gets Hana'a of a Shavar Pruta worth from something of Hegdish, if he did it b'mezid, it's a violation of Mi'ila, he gets Malkus and he pays for the Mi'ila, and if he did it b'shogeg, he brings the carbon asham, and he's Mishalim Keren V'chomesh. So we're discussing, is this a violation of Mi'ila? So no, the Rishus, he didn't get a Shav Prut of Hana from it yet, and it was not Mishana the Rishus, so he's not in violation of Mi'ila yet. Nesana L'chaveiro, but if the Gizbar then gives that stone or that beam to someone else, and that's somebody else's kona, So Huma al the Gizbar is in violation of Mi'ila because he's the one that gave it to the other guy. So he's the one that's being motziit miyad hegdish to chulin. The chaver lo mal, but the other person who received it is not in violation of Mi'ila because once the Gizbar has made it chulin, so then it's just his. And if the Gizbar is not motzi the evan from Rishos Hegdish, but rather bina'al esok beso, if the Gizbar instead takes this evan or this kora and he builds it into his own house, hareza lo mal acheyoder tach. He's not going to be in violation of Mi'ila until he gets a Shava Pruta's worth of Hana'a from living under this beam or this stone. V'amar Shmuel, and Shmuel said that which we say, that if he builds it in his house, he's not going to be in violation of Mi'ila until he has a Shava Pruta's worth of living there. V'ushinichal pi'aruba. That's only if he was not koveya it in the actual structure of the house. He just put it over a window or a skylight, where it's not a real shinui. But if he was koveya it be'binyan, then he'd be in violation of Mi'ila right away, because the Shinoi would have been Motziya Mirishos Hagdish, and as soon as you're Mishana something, you're Motzi Mirishos Hagdish, at that point you're in violation of Mi'ila. So it must be when we say that he put it in his house, it means they didn't change it. He just placed the stone over a skylight or something like that. That's how Rashi understands. Tosos raises the question that even if he was Kovea Bebinyan, it's a Shino Echoz Lebriaso. So Gazan is not Kona with a Shino Echoz Lebriaso. So he shouldn't be in violation of Mi'ila right away. So that's why other Rishon, the Chidushe Talmud HaRashba and the Rush, say that Shmuel needed to say that we're talking about where Nichal Pi Aruba and that he was not Kovea Bebinyan, because Mistama, when a person's Kovea Bebinyan, they also have to chisel it down. And they have to cut it down a little bit. So that's a real shinui. Meaning it's not that the kviya bibinyan is the shinui, it's that you have to make modifications to the material in order to fit it into the house to be kaveya bibinyan. That would be the shinui. Anyway, Vyasim Rabbi Avo, Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Avo was sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan when all this was being taught about Mi'ila. Again, what we're trying to show is what did Rabbi Avo see or hear from Rabbi Yochanan that made him believe that Tzarech La'alos L'Sachar, that a Dabar Chatz Chaver Shlomi Daito has to pay. So Rabbi Avo was sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and they said this teaching of Shmuel, that there's a difference between when you take the beam and you put it into the binyan versus you take the beam and you just put it over the aruba, and Zosa Meres, and they said, oh, we see from this Mishnah, that you have to pay when you squat in someone else's property, because when you live a Shavar Pluta's worth underneath this beam, that's Shalomi Das Hegdish, and apparently you're Chayiv, even though you were dar b'chatzar hegdish, so to speak. It's not really a chatzar of hegdish, but using the beam of hegdish, shalomi daito, without the das of hegdish, and we see that you're going to be chayiv, so it should be the same thing when it's dar b'chatzar chavero. V'shasakle, and Rabbi Yochanan didn't say anything when Rabbi Avo made this diuk from Shmuel's teaching. So Rav Papa explained, iu savar, Rabbi Avo assumed midashasak modile, that from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan didn't say anything, it must be that he agrees. So he agreed, sarach la'al sasachar velohi, but that's not really true. It was a mistaken impression that he got. The reason Rabbi Yochanan didn't respond was because he didn't think it even required a response. The tzushtel made no sense. There was no comparison to have over here. Because by Hegdish, you can't call it Shalomi Das. There's always Das by Hegdish. Who's the Bailim by Hegdish? The Bailim is the Shechina. So there's no such thing as Shalomi Das with Hegdish. Our whole sugya is a Dabar Chatz Chaver Shalom Midaito. You can't compare anything with Hegdish to Dabar Chatz Chaver Vero Shalomi Daito, so it's not at all comparable. Kidaraba, Tamaraba, Hegdish Shalomi Das, Kehedyot Midas Tami. That Hegdish Shalomi Das is considered like Hedyot Midas, and by Hegdish it can't be that it's Shalomi Das, because there's always Das in the Shechina, because at the time that a person uses Nichse Hegdish, the Shechina is very well aware that he's using Nichse Hegdish. That's how Rashi teaches up our Gemara. Tosos, and the top Tosos in Divra Maskel Kedyot says that this doesn't really explain why by Hegdish you'd be Chayiv, because, you know, it's not really about Das. That's not really the fundamental Nekuda over here. That's not the Yesod of this Halacha. There's no difference between Dar B'chatz HaChavero, whether it was B'yadiyah Sabaylim or not B'yadiyah Sabaylim. Even if it's B'yadiyah Sabaylim, you're going to be Pater. That which the Gemara uses Shalomi Daitos, because that's the Derech HaOlam, that it's very uncommon that the Bailim would know about someone living in his house for free, and he's not going to say anything to him. So we always just use the terminology Shalomi Daito, but it's not really a din in the das of the Bailim. So that's why Tosaf says that das shechina is always assumed to be that a person is not allowed to get hana'a without me'ila. And the Rashba explains what Tos means is that a hegdish is masna, it makes a tanai with someone who uses the nichsei hegdish, that automatically there's always going to be a payment for it, because the Torah says that a person can never get hana'a from hegdish without me'ila. So it says if he lived, the person living there had agreed initially to pay. And when the person living there had agreed initially to pay, so then of course you're going to have to pay. So therefore, the issue, according to these Rishonim, is not about das or lack of das. It's about what the understanding of the agreement is. That if you go into a bias of Hegdish, you go into use something that belongs to Hegdish, any time you use anything of Hegdish, it's understood that the agreement in advance is that you're going to have to pay for it. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses, again, continuing along in the topic of Adar b'chatzar chaver shalom idaito, shalukhe Rabbi Abba bar Zivda l'mari bar mar, boi minei merafuna. They asked the Shaila from Rafuna, Adar b'chatzar chaver shalom idaito, tzarech lalos l'sachar olam. If a person squats, do you need to pay or do you not need to pay after the fact? Sa'adahachi, when he was trying to ask the Shaila, nach nafshe de Rav Huna. Before he ever got an answer, Rav Huna, who he was asking the Shaila to, died. But Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, was very familiar with his father's shita. Samalei Rabba bar Rav Huna, hachi amar Rabba Mari, I could quote, this is what my father said, mishmei de Rav, that you do not need to pay. So says Mar, yeah, is that what Rav Huna holds? But wait a second. If a person rents a house from Reuven, he should be mala sachar l'shimon. He should pay his rental payments to Shimon. Says Mar, that doesn't make any sense. Shimon mayavinte. Why would I rent a house from Reuven? Would I have to pay? I don't even know who Shimon is if I'm renting a house from Reuven. What, something's missing over here from the story. So, achikav, no, something is missing from the story. What Rav Huna meant to say is as follows. If a person rents a house from Reuven because he assumes that Reuven is the bailum of the house, and then it turns out Reuven is a scam artist, nimtza bayis shel Shimon, it was really the house belonged to Shimon the entire time. Reuven was just the one charging the money, you know, he showed him around or whatever, and it turns out the house really belonged to Shimon, mal lo sachar, then you got to pay Shimon the money. So says Gemara, that is another statement that Rabba said in the name of Rav Huna. But wait a second, can these two statements that Rabba says in the name of Rav Huna, number one, that Rav Huna says, and number two, that if you rent a house from Reuven, you pay Shimon the checks if it really belonged to Shimon. Are those compatible with each other? Tarti, are these two teachings of Rav Huna compatible one with the other? If you're renting a house from Reuven and you're living there without Shimon having any idea about it, and Rav Huna says, okay, so you still have to pay Shimon. So that sounds like if you're living in someone's property without them knowing about it and you're squatting there, that you have to pay for it. And yet, Rav Huna said, "Dabar chazkoy shalom l'daito, eino tzarech lalos l'sachar." That you don't have to pay when you're a squatter. Isn't this a direct stira? Says Gemara, not a stira. They're talking about different cases. Had the kaima la'agra. The second case where you're paying Shimon rent is when it was a property that would otherwise be rented. So it's not zenene v'zeh lo chaser. It's zenene v'zeh chaser. It's a property that's meant to be rented and would normally earn the bailum some money. Whereas the first case of a squatter is not talking about a case where it would otherwise be rented, so you end up not losing anything. So now the Gemara brings another memra that we also derive the same chilik from. Itmar nami amar b'chir bar avin amar rav va'armila amar b'chir bar avin amar rav Huna. So again, either from Rav or Rav Huna, Hadar b'chatzar chaver shalom idaito, eino tzarech lalos lo sachar. That if a person squats in someone else's property, he does not have to pay rental. V'asochar bayis mibnei ha'ir, malaschar lebailim. And if a person rents a house from bnei ha'ir, then he has to pay rent to the bailim. So says Gemara, bailim ayavititayu. Again, there's something missing from the story. If I rent a house from bnei ha'ir, shouldn't I pay the rent to the bnei ha'ir? What does it mean? I have to pay the rent to the Bailim. So again, we fix it up a little bit. What it meant to say is as follows, that the Bnei Ya'ir rent him this house under the impression that they're the owners. He thinks they're the Bailim, but then it turns out Nimtzulo Bailim, that it does have a private Bailim that owns it, that's the genuine owner of it. So Malim Lohen Sachar, you have to give the rent to the real Bailim. So it's the same thing that we said before. It's just instead of Ruvain and Shimon, it's Bnei Ya'ir and Bailim, but it's the same idea. So the Gemara asks the same question. Tarti, can you say both of these teachings that are Soser one with the other? One is Soser the other. Soser Bais Bnei Ya'ir, you're living there Shalomi Das Bailov, because the real Bailim has no idea. And we're saying that you do have to pay him. But then we said that Adar B'chayetz Chaver Shalomi Daito, Eirot Tzor Chalos Lo Socher, that you don't have to pay. So which is it? So again, the Gemara answers the same way. Ha, the Kaima Le'igra. Ha, the Lo Kaima Le'igra. The case where you do have to pay is where the property was meant to be rented, and therefore it's Zenen of Zeh Chaser. And the case where you don't have to pay is where the property is not meant to be rented, and therefore it's Zenen of Zeh Lo Chaser. So now the Gemara brings other reasons to exempt someone who lives in Chaser Chavero Shlomi Daito from having to pay. Meaning Zenen of Zeh Lo Chaser is going to be Potter for some other reasons. Amarav Schora, Amarav Huna, Amarav. Hadar b'chatzar chavero, if a person lives in someone else's property, shalomi daita, without them knowing, ain tzarech la'alos lo sachar, you don't have to pay them mishum shenemar, because the pasuk says in the Navi Yeshaya, u'shi'iyo yukas sha'ar, and we darshan, shi'iyo is the name of some type of shade, some type of demon that causes the house that is an abandoned home from functioning properly. It ruins an abandoned home. So if a person is living in a house that would otherwise be abandoned, so they make sure that their house doesn't get destroyed, and therefore you're not going to have to pay for living there because you're doing them a favor by living in that house. Granted, not as big a favor as free rent, but the fact that they're getting something out of it, that alone is enough to make it that you don't have to pay, because you're doing them a favor and living in an otherwise abandoned house. The Rashba raises the question that from Rav Schora and from Rav Yosef that we'll see soon, it sounds like only because the Balabayas is nena somewhat from the fact that you're living there, that's why you're pater to pay. But without that, we wouldn't say Zenen of Zelo Chaser pater. Whereas the entire sugya sounded like that as long as Zeno Chaser, the Nana is going to be potter, like the Makif Chavero, not Eleven Okoro, all those other cases, there is no benefit for you by me using your stuff. Now we're changing the sugya a little bit. Now we're saying, oh, you know why a squatter doesn't have to pay? Because the squatter is benefiting the person who owns the house. Up until now, the entire sugya of Zenen of Zelo Chaser, there was no benefit to the other party at all. So the Rashba says that there's a little bit of a hefsid in houses when a person lives in it. The drisas haregel of the house, the wear and tear on the house. So to compensate for that, to balance that out, you have to say that I'm also giving him some benefit. But when I'm not Ramamish Zelo Chaser, I'm not costing you anything. But you know, like in the case of the Makif and Nikif, and in the case of the Evan O'Korish Alagdish, Ramamish not costing you anything. So then you don't need anything to balance it out on the other side. So Zenen of Zelo Chaser does not require that the person who's benefiting is also giving benefit to the Bailim. It's just that in a case where when I'm benefiting, I'm also ruining it a little bit. So then, in order to balance that out, it has to be that I'm giving some benefit to the Bailim. This is interesting, so that an abandoned home is at risk of being ruined, of being destroyed, and people would always rather someone be around their house just to make sure that things are okay. Amar Baravashi, the Didi Chazili, Ravashi says, oh, I saw this shade, this Shi'iyah shade, this demon, Umanagach Kitura, it gores like an ox. It's interesting, the Ramah, according to the Mukhe Yosef of Yer, says, no, it's not really such a shade, he didn't see such a shade, it doesn't grow like an ox, it's just a melitza that he's using, he just means that he saw that abandoned home could sometimes get ruined, that things go bad in abandoned homes. So it's like, you know, different Rishonim have a different Mahalich in how literally they take all these Gemaras about Shadim and exactly what they saw and what. Okay, Rav Yosef Amar Besa Miyatva. Rav Yosef says there's a different benefit. Just having people living in the house, Yosef, that such a house will be in better condition because someone who's living in the house will see if it needs any tikkunim, if there's anything that breaks, and they'll make minor repairs as they go along and they're living in the house. Maybe not. You what's the nafkamina between the reason that Rav Yosef gave and the reason that Rav gave, right? Rav said that the reason you're benefiting the person by living in his house is because the shade is not going to be there. Now the demon that ruins homes is not going to, the ruins abandoned homes is not going to be there. Whereas Rav Yosef seems like a much more practical thing that just, you know, you'll have extra eyes on the ground in case, you know, the sink is leaky or something like that. He'll tighten the thing or whatever, however you fix a leaky sink, I don't know. But, you know, he'll do whatever needs to be done to make sure the house is okay. So the nafkamina would be if the Bailim uses the house as a storage facility for Eitzim and Tevin, and then this guy went and he squatted in that storage facility. So if you're worried about the demon, you shouldn't patter him from having to pay, because the Balabais is using it. So even though there's no one living there, the Shadim are not going to be mazik unless it's abandoned. It's not considered abandoned when it's being used as a storage facility. So you didn't give him any anah. But as far as the Yish of Abai, as far as just making sure that things are okay there, so the Eitzim can't see anything, the Tevin can't see anything, they're not going to, you know, that's an inanimate object. It's not going to be able to fix anything around the house. So by you being there, you're providing them with some amount of benefit. Okay, so now the Gemara explains what Rav Nachman's Shita is about Darba Chatzar Chavera Shalo Midaito, and it brings a related story. Ahu Gavra, Debona Apadna Akil Kalto Diasmi. There was a guy that built himself a nice house, a big palace, on an empty lot that belonged to Yisomim. Agbe Rav Nachman Lapadne Mine. Rav Nachman confiscated his the house that he built on that lot in order to pay back the Yisomim for the rental of that space. So the Gemara wants to say, ooh, Lema Kasavar. So you see, Kasavar Rav Nachman Hador B'chatz Chaver Shlomi Daito Tzarech La'alusel Sachar. That here the Yisomim had no idea the guy was there. They weren't using it anyway. And this guy went and he built a house there. So you see that he has to pay for it. That's Sarach La'alos Lo Sachar. The Rama quoted in Mukhe Yosef over here is Mochir from here, that Dabar Chatzar Chaver is Pater, not only if the Baal HaBayis is a Gadol, even if it's Ketanim who are not B'nai Mechila. Meaning, he says, you know, Yesh Ladon on the Yesod Ha'inyan. Why is it that it would be a Dabar Chatzar Chaver Shlomi Daito is Pater? One might have thought it hinges on Mechila, that there's a presumed Mechila, that if I'm not using it anyway, I wasn't going to rent it out, doesn't cost me anything by you being there. So there's an implicit mechila. If it's a din and an implicit mechila, then it wouldn't work for ketanim, because ketanim are lav b'nei mechila ninu. So it must not be, says the Rama, that it's mechila. Zenen v'zaluchas is not talia mechila. Even if you know that the Baal HaBayis is a kapton and he's not mochel, still ain't tzarech la'alos lo sachar. So based on this halacha by ketanim, you can see what the halacha would be when you know for sure that a gadol is not Mochel. So anyway, so the Gemara says, ooh, so do you see that Rav Nachman holds the Dabar B'chatz Chaver Shlomi Daito Tzarech La'alos Lo Sachar? Says Gemara, no. Who may kara Karmanoi Avodai. Initially, there were people that were living there called Karmanoi people from a certain nation. V'yavale liasmi davar muat, and they used to pay the Yisomim some small amount of money because it was Omid Lahaskir. So it was something the Yisomim were able to make money off of this property, and that we know for sure. That if it's Zenen of Zech Choser, then of course you have to pay. If the Yisomim could have made money off of this property and now they can't because you built yourself a house there, then of course you're going to have to pay for it. So because this guy threw out the people who were living there previously, he threw out the previous tenants, and he went and he built himself a house there. So Amar Lei, so Rav Nachman said to him, Zil Paisin Eliasmi, you better go and give the Yisomim something that will make them happy. Velo Ashkach. And the guy didn't listen. He didn't follow Rav Nachman's advice to just go take care of the Yisomim. Agvei Rav Nachman Lapadi Minei. So Rav Nachman said, okay, you didn't listen, so now I'm going to confiscate your whole palace that you took away. Meaning, you could have kept your palace. You could have just given the Yisomim a couple of bucks. That's all the other guys were giving them anyway. They wouldn't have minded. And then it would have been fine. That would have been your deal. But now that you didn't listen, you chose not to do that, so now I'm going to confiscate the entire palace. The Truma Sedeshin brings a riot from here that a Beis Din is allowed to be Mevatar on the Mammon of Yisomim beyond what the din requires in order to avoid any machlokas. Meaning, this would have been a whole fight with the Yisomim in this guy. So they advised the guy, look, if you can make the Yisomim happy, give them a couple of bucks. A couple of bucks? They deserve to have more than a couple of bucks. Meaning, once it's Zenen of Zeh Chaser, then they could charge whatever they want. Then they could charge the full amount of the Hana. It shouldn't just be a couple of bucks. So why is Rav Nachman advising them? Yeah, just give the Yisomim a couple of bucks that they would have made otherwise. Because he thought it was in the best interest of the Yisomim just to avoid a machlokas. So if you can make them happy and you can avoid the machlokas, you're allowed to be mevater on the moment of the yisomim in such a case. That's what he suggests, because the Rosh writes that min adin he would have had to pay the entire demei schirus, and still Rav Nachman was giving them this this out. Okay. And then the Mishnah said, "Ketzah Mishlem is Mashanenis." So the Mishnah said that if an animal eats mitoch harachava, so it pays Mashanenis. But if it eats mitzidei harachava, it pays mashi zika. So Amar Rav, Rav comments that which we say if it eats mitzidei harachava, that it pays for what it damages, is even if the entire guf of the behema is in the rachava, is in the actual Rishus Rabim. Uvimachzeres, and it's just moving its head and tilts its head over to the tzidei aruchava to eat peros that are off to the side in the tzidei aruchava. Shmuel amar afilu machzeres nami pater, and Shmuel says no. Even if it's machzeres rosha, it still does not have to pay because the guf of the behema is in the ruchava. So that's shem Rosh Hasharabim, meaning anything the animal can reach just by turning its head as it's walking Rosh Hasharabim is going to be considered shem Rosh Hasharabim according to Shmuel. Ulshmuel echem mishkach sonim chayiv. So what's the case that you're in our Mishnah, according to Shmuel, I mean, Shmuel can't argue on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Mitzidei rechavim shalom es mashiyizika." So, what does that mean? If it's not where the animal is walking the Rosh Hashanah and turns its head to the tzidei rechava, so what is it? Could go into shavakta the rechava. That's talking about a case where the behema leaves the rechava va'azlo v'kama b'tzidei rechava and it moves its entire body to the tzidei rechava and eats there. So, it's not normal for oxen to walk there, and therefore, it's not considered Rosh Hasharabim. And that's when you're going to be chayiv. Some teach this machlokas Rav and Shmuel as an independent machlokas, not as a machlokas relating to how to touch up our Mishnah, to have to read our Mishnah, just stam as a straight up machlokas. That machzeres, if an animal is walking in the rechava and it turns its head and it eats from the tzidei rechava, Rav amar chayeves, Shmuel amar patura. Rav says you're chayiv, that's considered shein birushos hanizik. Shmuel says you're potter, that's considered shein birushos harabim. Ule Shmuel mishalem es mashizika. And according to Shmuel, the Gemara asks, now which we say in our Mishnah, where is that ever going to exist? Where is the case of our Mishnah? Meaning Rav and Shmuel initially weren't coming to address our Mishnah. They just stopped out of Machlokas. But once they have this Machlokas, the Gemara asks, but how is Shmuel going to touch up our Mishnah? What's the case of Mishlem is Mashizika? It all turns out the same, meaning the two versions of the conversation end up in the same place, that the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel is if the animal's in the Rechava and turns its head to the Tzidei Rechava, where Rav says Yechayiv, Shmuel says Yepater, Shmuel is going to say Yechayiv only if the animal moved its entire body to the Tzidei Rechava. So Masr, Rav Nachman Yitzchak challenges Rav. It says, Mipesach hachanus mishlemes mashanenis, heichi mishkachsa. The Mishnah says that if an animal eats from the Pesach of a chanus, it only pays for the anah. So where do we find such a case where an animal eats from the Pesach hachanus? You know, Pshita b'machzeres, isn't it possible that we're talking about a case where it turns its head because the Pesach hachanus is not in the Rechava, it's obviously off to the side, become a mashanenis, and still it said, the Tana says that it only pays mashanenis. Mashanenis in mashizika lo. It does not have to pay for the full extent of the damage done, only for the hana'a that it got. So how could Rav say that machzeres pays mashizika, that it pays for the full extent of the damage? So most of Lavu Mefarikla, the same Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak who asked the Kasha, he himself came up with an answer. The Kaima Bekeren Zavis, the case of Pesach HaChanus is where the Chanus was in the Keren Zavis, meaning you had a narrow mavoi that ended in a wider mavoi, and the Chanus was at the edge of the narrow mavoi. So when the behemoth was coming from the wider mavoi to the narrower mavoi, just by walking straight, it went right to the Pesach HaChanus. It hit the Pesach HaChanus without having to move its head off to the side at all, and it just ate Kedarka. So in that case, Rav is molded that's considered Shein Bereshus HaRabim, and therefore you're not going to pay Mashi Zika. In the case of Shein Bereshus HaRabim, you'll pay the Mashananis because you don't have to feed your animal lunch that day, but you're not going to have to pay Mashi Zika because it's Shein Bereshus HaRabim. That's the case of Pesach HaChanus. But Rav says, I still maintain that if the animal turns its head to the side in order to eat, that's considered Shein Bereshus HaNizik, and that pays for Mashi Zika. Ikata Amri, others say, another girsa in the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, Machzeres Kuliam Lo, Kliki, that if the animal turns its head, everyone agrees to Chayaves, that it's going to be Chayev. That's for sure called Shein Berushos HaNizik. Ki Pligi, the Machlokas is, B'maktze Mokom Merushuso L'Rushos HaRabim. You have someone who owns Karka near the Rushos HaRabim, and he builds his house recessed into his property, far away from the Rushos HaRabim, and he leaves a front yard open to the Rushos HaRabim. And then he puts out payros in that yard that he left open to the Rushos HaRabim. So a behemoth that's walking the Rushos HaRabim has nothing stopping it. It's just, it opens up right into this guy's property. V'hachi itmar, Amarav, and this is what the machlokas is, that Amarav lo shanu ela machzeres. When do I say that you're chayiv for shein b'rushos hanizik is if the animal turns its head into the rushos hanizik? Avol matzimakom yirushusa l'rushos rabim. But if a person just left from his own property space that's now accessible to the rushos rabim, petura, that's shein b'rushos rabim. What do you want from the animal? The animal's walking and it runs into such food. Ushmol amar afilu matzimakom yirushus l'rushos rabim chayaves. And Shmuel would say, no, even if you makum from your own rishos to the rishos ram, you're still going to be chayiv. That's still going to be considered shein b'rishos hanizik and not b'rishos harabim. So lema says Gemara, maybe this version of the machlokas Rav and Shmuel, again, not the version where they're arguing about machzeres, the version where everyone agrees that machzeres rosho is going to be shein b'rishos hanizik and you're chayiv to pay fully. But the case, the understanding of the machlokas Rav and Shmuel, that it's where a guy is makze from some of his property to the rishos rabbin, so maybe that's already a machlokas. Lema b'bar b'rishos ha-kabiflegi. We already have a machlokas tanaim that we're going to have later in the Masechta about a guy who digs a bar in his own rishos, then he's mafkir his rishos that surrounds that bar, but he was never mafkir the bar. So Rabbi Akiva says he's chayiv for any damage that bar does, and Rabbi Shmuel says he's potter. So maybe that's the exact machlokas amaraim that we have over here about an animal that eats from the makom that the balabayis was makze to the rishos rabim. Rav diomar potter kasam bar rishos chayiv. Rav who says potter will hold that bar rishos chayiv. That over here also this the guy left out his payroll in a place that he was maksel rishus rabim. It's as if he made a bar there, and he should not have done that. And any makalklim rishus rabim that are mazik, you chayiv to pay for. And anyone who's machzik behem is able to be machzik them, is able to take them for himself. So the behema by eating the payros was eating your bar rishus rabim. So if you leave a bar rishus rabim, that's free for the taking. Meaning, to the extent that you hold bar rishus chayiv, you're saying that it's a bar. So if it's a bar, then I'm allowed to take it. So you left your payros out in this area. So good. So now I'm going to take it, and my animal's going to be potter. Shmuel damr chayiv, and Shmuel holds chayiv kasav bar b'rishus potter. Shmuel holds in our case that your chayiv when the animal eats from this shetach, that your chayiv must hold bar b'rishus potter. And therefore, the guy put his payros there. Berushos, he was allowed to put his payros there. So any behemah that eats from it is going to be chayiv. And you can't pater mishum shein berushos rabim because it's not the derech hilucha in the rishos rabim. So says Gemara, nah, not necessarily are the two machlokos intertwined with each other. Amalach Rav liol meimelach. I can really tell you bialma bar berushos pater that generally speaking bar berushos is pater. The Torah is only mechayiv on a bar berushos rabim. V'shayni hacha, but over here it's different when you're makta makom to rishus rabim and you leave your payros there, that rav is going to potter the behema that eats those payros da amar, because the bala behema could say lav kol kaminach to mikra vaslach luhul the payrosach, that you had no right to leave your payros to rishus rabim so close to the rishus rabim umechayv to l'tarai and to be mechayv my ox from eating it, meaning you have to be reasonable. Animals walk by in rishus rabim, payros are widely accessible there, of course it's going to eat it. Ushmol amar bialma bar rishus chayv. Shmuel might say that bar b'rishuso is really chayiv, that since you're a mafkirit, but nevertheless, it's still different than makta makom and leaving your payros there. It's different than bar b'rishuso. The bishlam, a bar, ikal lemeim arbay, a bar, you could say lavadaite, that the shor had no idea that there was a bar there and to guard himself from falling on it and from tripping on it. So since he entered there b'rishus, because the bailam was mafkir's b'rishus, the balabar is going to be chayiv. Ela peros, but when it comes comes to the peiros that you leave in such an area, miikel meimel avadaite, can you say that the shor didn't realize that the peiros were there? Hachazilu, clearly the shor saw them, and therefore he should have been careful. And therefore, if the behema trips on those peiros, the person who left them there is going to be pater. And again, that relates, meaning if the person who left the peiros there is going to be pater when the behema trips on them, that means the behema has no right to take them. Because if you're going to be pater when the behema trips on them, that means that it's not a bar. So if it's not a bar, so then it's just the animal is just eating someone else's property, and of course you're going to be chayiv in such a case. So according to the first two lashonos, there's machlokes Rav and Shmuel about a behema that's in Rosh Hashram and machzeres rosha and eats mitzide rechav. It was only the third lashon of machlokes Rav and Shmuel where that's not what they're arguing about. But the first two lashonos, machlokes Rav and Shmuel, was where the animal turns its head and eats mitzide rechav. Are you chayiv or are you pater? So the Gemara says, you know what? That might already be a machlokes tonight. Meaning what we just did is we had three lashonos of machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Two of them are very similar to each other. The first two are very similar. One just relates to the Mishnah and one is independent of the Mishnah. But they argue about an animal walking in the Rosh Hashanah and turning its head to the Tzidei Rechava. And then we had a third lashon where no, they all agree that in that case you're going to be chayiv. They argue about Maktze Makom. So we first addressed the third version of the machlokes and said, oh, that case of Maktze Makom seems very similar to a machlokes Tanaim that we already have about Barber Shuso. Then we rejected that comparison. Now we're going to go back. The first two understandings of the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel also seem to relate to a Machlokas Tanaim, which is a problem. We don't want Rav and Shmuel arguing about something that the Tanaim already argued about. So Lema Machzeres Tanaihi. It could be that the issue of Machzeres is already Machlokas Tanaim. Titania, because the Brisa says, Achlu mitocha rechava mishalemes mashanenes. If an animal eats from what's in the rechava, it only pays for the hana, it does not pay for the hezek that it did, because it's Shein Berushos HaRabin. Mitzidei Rechava, Mishalemes Mashi Zika, Divrei Meir Rabbi Yehuda. If it eats from the Tzidei Rechava, it pays full damages according to Meir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Eliezer, Omrim, Ein Darko Lechol Lahalich. No, it does not pay full damages because it's only the derech of the animal to, it's not the derech to eat, it's the derech of the animal to just keep on walking. So since it's not the derech to eat from the Tzidei Rechava, you have to pay Mashi Zika. So Rabbi Yosef, Hainu Tanakama, says more weight. But Rabbi Yossi is saying the same thing as the Tanakama, that they both say that you're chayiv when you eat from the tzidei erechava. What exactly is the machlokas? Ella machzeres ika benayu. No, it must be that they're arguing about a case of machzeres. Tanakama suffer machzeres nami mishali mashanenis. Tanakama will say that if you're machzeres, you also pay mashanenis. Rabbi Yossi suffer mishalemis mashi izika. That if it's machzeres, then it pays mashi izika. So according to this, the way to understand Rav Meir is mitzidei erechava, that if the behema goes and actually stands in the Tzidei Rechava and eats there, then it's going to pay Mashi Zika. But if it doesn't stand in the Tzidei Rechava, it stands in the Rosh HaSarabim, even if it turns its head into the Tzidei Rechava, then it only pays Mashanenis. It's not going to be Chayiv to pay the full damages. And Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and he says it's not the Derech of an animal to eat B'chizur, only to be Mahalich, and therefore, when it was Mechaz Rosha, it's going to be Chayiv. So it's a Machlokas Tanayim in the din of Machzeres. So it says more low. To kuli alma machzeres ikarav ikishmuel. It could be that this machlokes tanaim has nothing to do with machzeres. You can hold whatever you want about machzeres. You can hold like Rav, you can hold like Shmuel. Vahacha, this brisa is not talking about machzeres. It's talking about a case where the animal eats in the Rosh HaSarabim itself, and Rav Meir paters and Rav Yossi's mechayev. Why? Bebir b'steyacher kamifgi. They're arguing about Shein Bereshus HaRabin, meaning what does it mean? The Torah says that when you do Shein in Stay Acher, you're going to be Chayiv. What is called Stay Acher? One thing I know for sure, it's not the field of the Mazik, but it for sure includes the field of the Nizik. But what about Bereshus HaRabin? Is that called Stay Acher? So Marsav, our Rabbi Meir holds, Ubir B'Stay Acher, V'lo Bereshus HaRabin. So if it eats from the Bereshus HaRabin, you're not going to be Chayiv. That's why Mitoch HaRachava, Yoli Mishalem Es Mashanen. Umar Savar and Rabbi Yossi holds Ubir B'Steyacher V'lo B'Rishus HaMazik. Ubir B'Steyacher only excludes Rishus HaMazik. But Rishus HaRabim, you're talking going to be Chayiv on Shein. So the Gemara asks in that Rishus HaMazik, Lema Pircha Birushusi, my bayi. How could I even need? I need a pasuk to tell me that if you bring your peros trespass, leave them in my property, and my animal eats them. I need a pasuk to tell me that I'm not chayiv for that. Of course, I'm not chayiv for that. Don't leave your stuff in my property. Eladil for Rabbi Shaya Ibn Aso. Third explanation of what the machlokas tanaim is the tanaim are actually arguing about the machlokas between Ilfa and Rabbi Yoshaya that we had Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. That Ilfa said that a behemoth brishus rabin that sticks out its neck and eats peros off of its friend's back, off of another animal's back, is chayiv because the back of the other animal is considered rishus hanizik. And Rabbi Yoshaya said that the animal is in the rishus rabin, the animal that its back you're eating off of. So that's not called rishus hanizik. The behemoth that's in rishus rabin that jumps and eats from a kupa is chayiv mishum keren because it's Mishuna. So Gemara says that's the machlokas tanam over here. According to Rabbi Meir, even in those cases you're potter, and so achlo mitokar chava. In any case, even if pashta tzavero tzavara or kaftzar jumped on another animal, it's mishalem smashanenis. You're only going to have to pay for lunch. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, in those cases you're going to be chayiv like Ilfa and like Rabbi Yoshai. It's not that Ilfa and Rabbi Yoshai disagree with each other. They each give different examples where you're going to be chayiv even though you're in rishus rabim, and that's what it means. Ein dark alechal. It's not the derech of it to eat by sticking out its neck or by jumping. Ela lahalech, and therefore in these cases you're going to be chayiv. So it turns out that there is no machlokas tanaim about machzeres. It's not a new mishnah. Kelav agdi shakavtu mirosh agag v'shavras hakelim mishalim nezik shalim neishen muadin. A dog or a gedi that jumps off of a roof and breaks kelim on the bottom pays nezik shalim because they're a muad to jump. They often jump. Kelav shalat al charara. If a dog takes a hot coal, a cake that has hot coals attached to it, valach lagadish, and he goes to a haystack, achal acharara, he eats the charara, vihid the kagadish, but he lights the haystack on fire. So al acharara mishalim nezek shalim, he's got to pay nezek shalim for the charara, val gadish mishalim chatzi nezek, and he only pays chatzi nezek for the gadish. So it says more time at the kavtzu. The reason that the mishnah is mechayev the bailim to pay for the nezek shalim when he jumps off the roof is because they jumped off the roof purposely and damaged, and that's a normal thing for a dog to do. But hanaflu, if it slipped off the roof, it fell off the roof and it broke kalim on the bottom, putter. Apparently you're going to be putter. Why? Alma kasavit chilasu b'shivasav bonus putter. You weren't watching this dog. You didn't have a fence around your roof to prevent this from happening. So you were posheya. Yeah, but it's not normal for a dog to fall off the roof. So even though I was posheya in my shmira, what ultimately ended up happening was an onus. Tanya nami hachi hakelev agdi shakavtum roshgag v'shavras kalim mishalim nezik shalim naflu puturim, but if they fell off, they're putter. Well, hanich lemad yom tchasu b'shivasav bonus putter. This works very well if you hold that Chasim B'Shiyah V'Sof Bonus is actually Potter. But if you hold Chasim B'Shiyah V'Sof Bonus is Chayiv, how could you explain this Mishnah and this Brisa? So the Gemara says the Amora that holds Chasim B'Shiyah V'Sof Bonus Chayiv will say that the Mishnah and Brisa are talking about the following. Kigon demikrivi kalim lagabi kosel. That the kalim were right up against the wall. So if the animal would have jumped off, it would have gone at some distance and it would have missed the kalim. So you were watching the animal well enough that it wasn't going to break the kalim. But what happened? An onus happened when the animal slipped off and fell right down. If it would have jumped off, it would have jumped further and would not have fallen on it. It's not even called chilasu b'pshia. The Rishonim point out the fact that it could jump off and then go back and smash the kalim is not taken into account because we assume it's just the weight of the animal falling or jumping, that it's the gravity that's going to break the kalim. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rav Zvid. Yeah.